And that's one of the tremendous things, having three races. You have the 50-mile Aquiac Dash sprint race, then you have the little bit longer Bogus Creek 150, then the Kuskokwim 300, and you have the ability to do what kind of investment do I want to make and what kind of team do I want to train? Do I want a sprint team? Do I want more of a long-distance team as well?
Yeah. Well, when you run even the Aquiac Dash, you're training for distance. You know, I know training for a 50, 75-mile race is a little bit different than 300 and a 1,000-mile race, but you're already thinking, most people, not me, but most people are thinking towards the K300, and it's so neat to see people like John George is going to run the 300 this year. He's just a premier guy out of Dog Musher out of Akichuk, and he's been running the Dash and the Bogus, and now we're going to see that team in the 300, and it's a good team, as well as coming back from the Yukon.
David Fitka.
Yeah, David Fitka ran the race way back, I think in the 90s, kind of gave it up for a while, and he's coming back, and it's just good to see that. And we know we're doing the right thing.
One of the things we put those shorter races in to try to encourage people to work their way up, as Pete has done, from the Dash to the Bogus to the 300. I would point out that actually we haven't had as much of that happen as we hoped. A lot of people have settled into their event and they stay in that event, especially the Dash. People who get in the Dash often do not go beyond the Dash. They just keep coming back to the Dash. And now we've kind of cemented that a little bit by increasing the purses in those smaller races, so they're comfortable just staying there. But it is a fact that we are trying to promote more people to follow the path that Pete and Richie and a few others, Mike Williams Jr., that is, start in our small races and work up to the big races and stay there. That's where the future lies for us, of course, is having that happen. And, I got to be open here. I'm a little worried about the future of dog racing because it's the cost of being involved is very high. The cost of getting started is extremely high if you're trying to go from nothing to a dog team. And a lot of people now are not excited about the prospect of giving up their computer for that process we talked about earlier of getting comfortable being uncomfortable. It's not something people like to do nowadays. Young people, the notion of going out in the cold is less appealing than it used to be. There's no question about that. The way I really know it is this. Even though there are way more powerful and abundant snow machines in Bethel than there used to be, 30 years ago when I would go out on the tundra, I would encounter people out doing stuff in below zero weather. And 10 days ago when we had below zero weather, I was out on the tundra almost every day, and you see hardly anyone. The only people you see are maybe Pete would come by once in a while, but you don't see people out doing things when it's cold anymore. And this is a trend. It's not just dog mushing. It's a lot of different events where people don't get out and do stuff. And the Iditarod is way down in teams this year. We're having a hard time getting as many as we kind of expected we would get in the 300, where I think we're at 18 or something right now. And so the future is a little bit in the balance in terms of finding new young people to get involved in this sport. It's not easy to get involved, to get started as a dog racer. And so that's a concern going forward.
And Pete, how has having these purses contributed to you being able to have a team, a kennel, and the career that you have now?
And a family.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely necessary. Without, without the K300 and all their different races, I think, between the 300, the 150, and the Dash, and then 5 other races. I mean, that's a lot of opportunity to make some money and and try to put some money back into the kennel. Like Myron said, it's super expensive, and for some it's more of a hobby. But even when it's a hobby, it's expensive. So I think that's why you see more interest in dog. I mean, it's for sure the reason there's more dog teams out here in this region than in the Cotabato region and Nome area, is because these mushers have the support of these races, and not just the K300 races, but each village seems to be able to put on a race with a healthy purse each year too. So it kind of works both ways. The races come up with these big purses, and the mushers show up to race them. So it works both ways.
And it's, we were talking about wanting to see young mushers coming up through their kennels, and we're seeing some of that with the Simon team. We're seeing those kids grow up and racing. We're seeing in Guisluck, Max's team, we're seeing his grandson starting to race, and so there is some encouragement there that, kids are growing up in these kennels, but it's rare that you see somebody just come in and say, I'm going to start a dog team. They usually start with another musher, like Pete or like ourselves, like Myron and I. We've always had young people involved in our kennel, and then to see Matt Scott, he's run all 3 races, or he will. This is his first K300, and he started in our kennel, and Myron's had a lot of people that he's mentored, and I think that's important. I see Ari, Pete's son, he's always around the dogs. He's very comfortable, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Pete, what ideas do you have for getting more people, more younger people involved in mushing?
Well, like Myron said, you kind of do see a trend with not as many people being interested in things like that. But it wasn't long ago that me and Mike and Richie were kind of the next generation of mushers. And now, 10, 12 years later, we kind of wonder the same thing, who's going to be the next group of talent from the region. Because certainly there's a lot of talented outdoorsmen around here. And it is good to see some of these younger folks racing, like Maurice Andrew last year, and John Simon's got several kids. I can see their trail goes right behind my yard, and they got teams going out every day with different various ages of kids. So that's good to see. But it's hard to talk people into going out and being cold, every day and being miserable. So it's definitely not for everyone. But kind of wonder what's going to happen here in the next 10 or 20 years, and it would be good to see as much interest as possible.
Well, we do have 3 races this weekend. People signed up, 19 mushers, the last list I've seen for the K300. We'll see who comes out for the Bogus Creek and then the Akiak Dash. So with this being the 40th race, what are your reactions to that, especially Myron? I mean, you had this idea 40 years ago. Now,
well, my first reaction would be, how the hell old am I anyway? Because I was old here at the first one. So it's kind of a good feeling, I will say that something was able to be started and maintained all this time. And we've had some not just tight times, we've had some very challenging times. We, in 2007, 2008, we had a theft issue that went on within our race that put us within an inch of being out of business, without any question, financially and legislatively out of business, because, the state does not approve of nonprofits having their money stolen. So there was a lot of challenges there, and we pulled through that. And I would say this, that event really was a turning point for the K300, because it had been on sort of autopilot for a while. where it wasn't being watched closely enough and promoted hard, you know, within the group, we were not promoting things as well as we should have been. And that was a wake-up call that we're not even watching our finances. So we kind of regrouped and really bore down hard right then. And from that time till now is when you see all of this growth and change in the many more races we have now. The purses are up. All of that's because we started paying a little closer attention. So it's really satisfying, of course. I mean, consistency is a good trait in just about any field, I would think. And we've been consistent. We've kind of managed to pull off a race every year, even on challenging circumstances. And we were unsuccessful in being named a statewide Hall of Fame event. But I will say this, even if they don't know that we're one of the best events in the state of Alaska, I do.
Yeah, and I feel the same way, Myron. It's just to be here today and to see, you know, we were in our early 30s 40 years ago, late 20s, early 30s, trying to pull this off and under tremendous pressure and trying to figure out. I don't know that those first 10 years that I thought we'd be here 40 years later. But it just, there's a lot of pride in that for this region, that not only did we pull a major event off, that we made it possible for people like Pete and others to dream big, that they could be top-notch mushers in this day today and recognized for that around the state and around the world, that people are following us, and it's so easy to follow us anymore at k300.org. It's so easy to be that armchair musher that I am these days. It's just a good feeling, and to know that, you know, there's young people like Maddie who grew up around the race that step into those K300 manager positions to keep this going.
And Bev was referring to Madeline Reichart, the K300 race manager. And we are nearly out of time. I just want to thank so much of Myron Anksman coming in, Bev Hoffman coming in, Pete Kaiser joining us over the phone.
And Ailey, too. We got to mention Ailey.
Ailey, Pete is at home watching his daughter, which is why he wasn't able to come in, but still able to join us. This weekend, the three races will begin, the 40th annual. The Bogus Creek 150 starts at 5 p.m. on Friday, followed closely by the Kuskokwim 300 at 6:30 p.m. on Friday. And then the next day, Saturday, the Akiak Dash will begin at 2 p.m. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. You're listening to KYUK. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy K300.